Moneyline with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s. Gentlemen, how we doing? Our first show in the year 2024, and it's the final week of the regular season in the NFL.
Well, I think we have a great show on tap. Everyone talking about the strange situations of week 18, resting players, who's motivated, who isn't. Is it the easiest week to bet? Is it the hardest week to bet? And we have three former NFL players that all played in many week 16s back in their day, right? With Tank Williams, Chad Brown, and of course Pritch, to get their perspectives. Probably going to be the only show on the network this week that has that much not that much perspective.
So, yeah, totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. I was doing inventory, too, with the season and being up about 38%.
There we go.
The bankroll.
We love to hear that.
And, you know, the thing about it is staying in your lane, too. And a lot of things I've learned being here with VSiN as a former player. I'm playing catch-up to all you handicappers because we couldn't participate in betting for a lot of good reasons,
How about when you and Mitch had your show on the radio?
Yeah.
It wasn't you talked about sports, but not betting, right?
Right. And we had guests that would come on.
Yeah.
Certainly, speaking of here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't participate. Mm-hmm. Mitch was last man standing years ago. Oh, yeah. And so from a betting standpoint, he certainly had to jump on a lot of people too. But Matt Humans was at the station and Dave Koken. I mean, we had so many great handicappers and you can learn from them. But I couldn't participate. I could just listen for entertainment value. Now that I'm able to participate, it's like staying in my lane and understanding, okay, I'm strong with teasers. Got a syndicate to help out too.
There you go.
But no, just taking inventory of the year and looking forward to the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a really important lesson there. It's just like, because I know when I started out with betting, I was betting everything, but then you kind of hone in on what you're actually good at and what you have a good feel for.
Right.
And I think that's a good lesson for a lot of people, whether you're new, you're old, just a nice little reminder as you head into 2024. Maybe that's a betting resolution for people to start the new year here as we're 5 days in. But we do have a fun show on deck, like Mike Palm mentioned. Coming up in 30 minutes, Tank Williams, former NFL DB, now betting analyst, will join us to break down his thoughts on Week 18, the whole rest versus rust sort of situation, and which sides he might like. Then in 45 minutes from now, Chad Brown, former NFL player and former Colorado Buffalo. We got to give Pritch that shout out there. He is now an analyst over there for Westwood One. He'll be joining us as well to discuss this Ravens-Steelers game that I think is really, really fascinating. And we've seen some movement in the market as recently as today. Then at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, Barrett Salih, college football analyst, will help us break down the CFP National Championship, the Big Ten showdown between Washington and Michigan coming up on Monday night in Houston. But gentlemen, let's start with this Saturday night slate that we have. The primetime game on Saturday, Texans at the Colts. Win and you're in, lose and the season is over, and potentially, based on what might happen between the Jags and the Titans, could ultimately decide who wins the AFC South. Right now, Houston's a one-point favorite on the consensus line, 1.5 over at DraftKings, total 47.5. Any feel here, side or total in this game?
I don't know. I mean, if you told me the Texans won by 10, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me the Colts won by 10, I wouldn't be shocked. I think a lot of people will have Colts and teasers, being that short home dog. You just spoke about teasers. My angle on this would be that if you think the Texans are going to win this game outright and qualify for the playoffs and maybe even win the division, you should bet DeMeco Ryans to win Coach of the Year. That would be my advice.
Man.
At 11 or 12 to 1. Because I feel like this game, the winner of this game should win Coach of the Year.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean what my feelings is or what the 50 gentlemen that vote for the awards are going to do. But what the price is if Stefanski has already won the award, right? And he got that high off the Thursday night game. In I can make a lot of arguments. I'm not going to waste time. I've done it already. Why these guys should. I mean, Steichen's running Sanford's offense from UNLV.
He is.
With Minshew, he didn't have Jonathan Taylor, and it's a bad defense, right?
Yeah.
And they might win a division, and they may qualify for the playoffs. So I think these two guys have done the best job as far as expectations for your team, especially Ryan's, over the results.
Yeah, I mean, you consider the organizations and where these two organizations were right before the season, it's like you didn't envision this. I mean, I think a little bit I did with Anthony Richardson because he was going into a situation where Indy, they kind of have a playoff caliber roster. If you look at the offensive line, you look at Gus Bradley as a coordinator, and certainly some of the personnel they had defensively. But when AR went down and the plan went down, you didn't think Gardner Minshew was just going to step in and have this level of success. But here they go. I like a teaser because it gets you beyond one possession. I mean, look how these guys are coaching a lot of times in the games. And, you know, there a lot of times they'll make decisions that'll chase points, and therefore they'll fail. And then it increases the probability of a two-possession situation if you can get it beyond that. So I like that situation most of all. Who knows how this game's going to go? I don't think anybody could predict an outcome here, but it's two teams doing more with less. But if you look at the Texans, their profile and D'Amico, they've gotten better. You know, they've overcome so much adversity with injuries, and they've gotten better. Inconsistency a little bit now, CJ Stroud back. Whereas, you know, the Colts really, they rode that roller coaster with Gardner. And they can ride that roller coaster a little bit more in this game as well.
To your point about the tease, I would make, depending on the price, a prop bet that the last play of regulation in this game is a field goal attempt.
Okay.
Doesn't it seem like that? I mean, and when these teams play, it's always like that.
Yeah.
Somebody's trying to kick a 56-yard field goal to tie or win the game on the last play.
Right.
I mean, we might be in store for a fun game Saturday night. I think back to last year when we had Titans at Jaguars and that Saturday night game to decide the AFC South. This one's not going to decide the AFC South, at least on Saturday. But the fact that it's now Texans-Colts a year later after how bad these teams were yesterday. I mean, like you said, Mike, there's a good argument that could be made that this should be the Coach of the Year Bowl. I don't know if that's how the 50 voters see it, but there's an argument that's out there to be made. In these win or go home situations, though, and a question for both of you guys, like, I always think back to the trust factor, but we don't have any sort of evidence or resume that, like, you should trust any of these teams. Like, if you had to trust one, which one would you go with, the home team just because they're indoors and the comforts of their own home? Or is it maybe the pedigree of a CJ Stroud who played in a bunch of big games at Ohio State? Like, who should we look to trust here in this situation when there's so many unproven commodities?
Well, from this year's history with Stroud and his total NFL history, I think Stroud will turn the ball over less if you want to take that into it. Minshew still has a gunslinger mentality, right? He's going to try to fit the ball into tight windows, and he's okay with turning it over because he's going to make some big plays. If you look at it from that aspect and say turnovers are going to decide a close game, I would lean Texans here. I mean, I think the game should be a pick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the market says the Texans are a short favorite. It was one most of the week, now 1.5.
Yeah.
Whichever way it went, the other side was the tease, right?
Right, absolutely. And I've been looking for intangibles, really, for this game. I mean, if you think about it, so incentives. I've been on the network all week long talking about incentives, and this is a week where you can cash in. Like, for instance, Gardner Minshew, he'll earn a $2 million bonus, having played at least 65% of the snaps. He's already at 86%. So he's got $2 million in his pocket right now. Think about that.
Good to be Gardner Minshew.
Great to be Gardner. And he's playing with house money, though. Think about that. So he's got $2 million in his pocket. If I can help this team get to the playoffs, how much more money am I going to put in my pocket? Certainly, as a backup quarterback his entire
Does
career.
That go through players' minds?
Yes.
Because I just wanted to make that clear for our audience who says, like, do they really care about this? Like, you say yes, 100% guys think about that.
Because your salary ends after this weekend. Everything in the playoffs is bonus money. So your salary is over after this weekend.
Now, there's we went through on primetime. I mean, there's 2 pages of incentives, right, of these.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are, they need 1 sack, right, to get this. Can that be a part of our handicap, that somebody needs 1 sack to get 500,000, one more? Because a coach can't. You're not scheming it up to get that one,
well,
are
no,
you?
The players, the incentives will be with the player.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think
Beckham needs 220 yards and 7 catches.
He's not getting that.
But
I mean, you know what I mean?
Coaches have win percentage incentives, though, in their contracts a lot of times, too. So there's a lot of that. You know, if you're D'Amico Ryans and all of a sudden you get to the playoffs, I mean, there's some incentives in there, right? Shane Steichens has to have some incentives. I mean, Devin Singletary, he needs 74 all-purpose yards to earn a $250,000 bonus. So is he going to be running, you know, with authority? Who knows what's going to happen there? I mean,
be returning punts.
Maybe. All purpose.
Sure. You got to put him in the return game.
Throw me the rock, too.
Yeah, I mean, catching it 8 yards deep and still taking it out.
Right. Hey, CJ, I know you and your lady want to go somewhere in Austin. Seriously.
Are those the conversations?
Oh, yes. I mean,
even now, you're talking about 30-something years ago.
Is today's athlete?
Is today's athlete?
Yeah. vacation costs back then too.
Yeah. You got to account for inflation in 2024.
Absolutely. Rolexes were expensive back then too.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh,
so, yes. There's a lot of gifts and a lot of...
You know.
I know. Still paying for one.
Sure. But no, I think that... I don't know if you'll put it in a cap or not, but just for the motivation, because you hear that thrown around a lot now. Are these guys going to be motivated? First of all, we're competitors. We're going to be competitive. You don't want to win or lose, but you want to put a good performance out there too. But then all of a sudden, is there an extra incentive out there that could factor into your
performance? Are there certain toxic situations like Carolina or where these guys are just ready to get the hell out of town?
Yeah. I mean, the teams without culture, certainly, they are done. They got their
fired
backs.
Coaches.
Right.
Like the Chargers, packs. Panthers.
Yeah. Chargers, that's a good example.
Those are teams that, hey, sure. Who knows what happens. Real quick, though, on these two teams, winner gets into the playoffs. Do you give any sort of credence to any of these teams being able to make noise in the postseason, or is it just kind of like a, hey, you made it, but you're probably going to be one and done when you face the two seed?
One of them might get a home game it's possible, right?
That's possible.
Because I think Vrabel is going to make that game hard. They always, in that division, make these games hard. I don't know. I mean, let's say that either one of these is the four seed. Cleveland would be your first-round opponent.
Right.
Both will be dogs at home to Cleveland, right?
Quarterback hasn't mattered all year long. We get to the playoffs, quarterback's going to matter more than anything.
And Cleveland beat both of these teams in their buildings this season. That was a high-scoring game. That was a little...
It's about four bad calls down the stretch, too.
They were willing Cleveland to the finish line in that game. We'll talk more about the AFC South. The development at practice between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. We'll do it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, well, you're almost out of time. We've got a game Monday night that the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by show hosts and guests, including the national title game, Michigan-Washington. We'll get into that, of course, later on today. It's only $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe. I mean, the bowl season's almost done.
Femi, I heard you're writing an article about next year's Heisman race. Is that true?
Let's get to the summer first. Let's get to the summer. Then we'll see where these transfers all fit in and all that stuff. But, we'll attack the Heisman market and try to make some more money like we did this year.
Let's clarify, because we've talked about this through the course of the year a lot. Yep. What are your positions now on these player and coach awards?
Oh, my God. I don't think we have enough time to
get... Is it really that? What are the key ones for you?
Coach of the Year is a key one.
Stefanski.
Yeah. We'd love Stefanski to win. Miles Garrett, defensive player of the year. We need that. And defensive rookie of the year, I mean, Anderson or Turner. If either of those guys win, jackpot. We'd love that.
You got a good shot with Anderson,
We have faded Jalen Carter, which we've seen that price come down drastically over the last week. He was minus 20,000. Now he's like minus 115. Goes to show you that there's not a whole lot of smarts that's put into these odds. Like, that's why I love betting them, because they're inefficient. Nobody knows. We're all kind of making educated guesses, to which there's a whole lot of value.
Do you have any Ryans as a hedge to...
I'm completely naked to Ryan, so hopefully he doesn't win.
Okay.
But he does have an argument, though. I can at least acknowledge he does have an argument, but hopefully the voters don't see it that way. This is where we sit. But let's talk about the other AFC South game, Jaguars and the Titans. Mm-hmm. Right now, Jacksonville is a 3.5-point favorite. This game has been bouncing back and forth. It was 5.5 earlier this week. Now we're down to 3.5. Uncertainty about Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He missed last week's game with the shoulder injury. Has practiced in limited fashion today and this week. And Doug Peterson, head coach of the Jaguars, said that it's going to take it all the way up to game time. For our viewing audience, you can kind of see some of the practice footage from yesterday on Thursday. But it sounds like it's very uncertain whether Lawrence is going to play with the shoulder injury. And this is win the game and you win the division if you're Jacksonville. And if you lose, you could potentially miss the playoffs.
This has been the interesting line movement. And obviously it's based mostly on Lawrence. But on the other side of it, Levis. Right?
Yeah.
So there's the two factors. Yeah. I mean, obviously. But when he practiced Wednesday, this line went to 6, right? And then when he practiced and was limited yesterday, it came back down to 4 and now 3.5. This is a tough handicap here. I think if he doesn't go, I'm probably going to be on the dog.
So he's got an AC joint sprain, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's painful. Is it going to impede his throwing motion? No. Is it going to affect his career? No. So He's going to play. I mean,
you think?
I think he's going to play.
It's a pain tolerance.
Yeah, it's a pain tolerance thing. And he played the same week on a bum ankle.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But he wasn't terrific.
No, he wasn't.
Cleveland, right? You could tell he was compromised.
That's going to be my point. Like, yeah. He's a quarterback, a young enough quarterback that still needs practice, though. Mm. Now, he figured it out in the flow of the game, and maybe Cleveland took their foot off the pedal. Who knows? But to me, he's a guy that needs practice, preparation. The handicap, not the handicap, I guess the main factor of this for me is Peterson doing less with more. You give any other coach or a competent developer of talent this level of talent on this roster, they're not struggling with this roster. You give Andy Reid this roster, they're not struggling with this, right? For whatever reason, Peterson has. And you can look at Trevor Lawrence, 20-29 as a starter, career starter, underperforming the expectations, who knows? But I think Jacksonville has underperformed my expectations. Femi, you've been all over Jacksonville in terms of not buying into them all this whole season. I just expected so much more for what they started last year and what they have on that roster to continue into this year.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they struggle blocking. The offensive line's not great. The defense has actually been a little bit better than I anticipated heading into the season, but Lawrence has been back there, and he also hasn't. He's got to wear some of this as well.
Yeah.
Like the whole generational talk and all that, we can throw that out the window. We've seen enough of him to realize that this isn't generational. I'm not saying that he can't be a good quarterback, but this is going to be a top five guy with Burrow and Mahomes. No, it's not. That's not reality. So I think that this is a situation of a quarterback who's solid, struggling behind a shaky offensive line, and you have a play caller that's trying to find anything that could work, and it really hasn't worked for them. Yeah. In addition to some injuries at wide receiver with Kirk and Zay Jones and a number of guys who've kind of been in and out of the lineup.
Yesterday on primetime, Tim was trying to put a number on how many head coaching vacancies would there end up being this offseason. Mm-hmm. And we had Will Brinson on for the last half hour. From Raleigh, and
friend of the show, Will Brinson.
Maybe more. But six and a half, Tim put out. I think that's a bad number. We already know three, and maybe two more are assumed. I suggested, and Will Brinson said it's eight or nine probably. Ooh. I suggested, is Jacksonville in the mix here? Peterson, is the talent level on this team?
Oh, it's crazy. It really is crazy. I mean, I don't know if the ownership and management is looking at it that way. Uh-huh. Because he is a Super Bowl winning head coach, right?
I mean, he'll always be that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Won the division last
year.
Right.
There could be a ton of turnover, as we know. I wouldn't factor him in there.
Yeah. Would you be shocked?
I would be shocked. Yeah. Yeah, I would be.
But, I mean, his game management, I mean, he needs a casino house, this guy.
Do you want to call
he
plays?
He and Campbell together.
Oh, Campbell does by feel. Yeah. He goes by.
From a betting standpoint, do these coaches want to call plays, or do they want to develop these guys? Do they really want to be head coaches? Right. Well, they want to be a head coach but they want to call plays, though. Calling plays. I had a head coach tell me who called plays. Calling plays is the fun part of coaching. Mm. And so, but being a head coach, they love that, too. Like, I love calling plays, but being a head coach, I love the title, and I'm going to embrace that title.
How much impact when you were in Denver with Shanahan, how much impact did he have on the play calls?
A lot. Gary Kubiak would come up with the game plans, and then Mike would sign off on it, and certainly, but enjoy it, and then call the plays. But if he didn't have it, see, that's the thing about these coaches like that, like Holmgren too. Like, if they didn't have it, Sherm would call the plays, Mike Sherman.
Yeah.
If Mike Shanahan didn't have it, then Gary Kubiak would call the plays, right?
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Or if they wanted to change tendency. Like, some of these rosters, they don't have that. LaFleur is just LaFleur. Like, I mean, from an adjustment standpoint, you know, Bieniemy or Andy Reid, you couldn't gauge who was calling the game, and it worked for them. Now, it's not Nagy. Is it Nagy? Okay, maybe that's why they're struggling this year, right? So, I mean, that makes a big difference in a lot of things that I look at.
I think that's really interesting. It's funny because Mike McCarthy said, he told one of the sideline reporters, he said, I'm a competitor. Like, I want to be feeling like I have, like, the plays in my hand and all that. And, like, that goes to show you that a lot of these coaches, at least the ones who came up as play callers to get promoted, they still want to do it. They just want to be expensive play callers.
It's interesting to me in the cow with the Cowboys, and this goes back. But, you know, Tom Landry was a defensive coach, right? I mean, on that Allie Sherman staff with the Giants, Vince Lombardi was the offensive coordinator. Landry was always a defensive coach, but then became the play caller for the Cowboys.
You know what's fascinating is never wearing a headset either, right? Yeah, and you think back then too, a lot of times the quarterback called the plays and the whole game plan kind of surrounded around that. But it wasn't as complex as it is today, calling plays. Real quick though, incentives wise, you do have Arden Key that's 2 sacks away from $500,000, right? You know, stuff like that. DeAndre DeHop, he's 49 yards away from $1 million bonus.
Oh, he'll get that.
But 7 catches away from $250K on top of that, too. So Levis is quarterbacking.
I mean,
So that, do what you will with that information. I mean, are they going to be one-sided? Are they going to try to feature? I mean, DeHop's going to get the rock anyway, right?
Yeah.
But Arden Key is interesting on that side of the ball.
Yeah, it's funny. DeAndre Hopkins telling Will Levis, hey, man, give me the football. I'll kick you 100K if I get this bonus.
If the person with the incentive has the quarterback in the grass, does another lineman not come in so it won't be a half?
I mean, what? I know. What? Just get an arm in there.
Right?
I'll pay you. I'll give you.
I'll fly so he ducks and goes down. I'll go high.
I'll give you a stack or two if you just don't get your arm in there. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We need the full sack. No half sack around here. We need the full sack. That is the Jaguars and the Titans. That are you guys going to bet this game here? Like, so because I think my strategy will be if Lawrence is ruled in, which that's what I would anticipate right now on Friday. I'm going to bet Tennessee if he's rolled in. Hopefully we get a little bit more of a bump.
Because you'll get it back up to 4.5 or 5.
I think that's going to be my strategy. But if he's out, I think the value is kind of gone. That's where we're sitting. Yeah. Is that kind of how you guys see this as well, or do you maybe have another opinion?
I think Tennessee wins the game if he doesn't play. I think Jacksonville's an absolute train wreck right now. And Will Brinson also said Vrabel's one of those might be spots.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem to be on the same page as the GM.
Right. You know, rumors about going to New England, all that stuff, and you know, all kinds of stuff. But who knows? The thing about this game is all about Trevor and his lack of preparation to me. I think that brings this game tighter. It's already one of those kind of matchups. Underneath the field goal, it should be underneath the field goal, in my opinion.
Yeah, which is why I want him to play. Yeah. Because it's like you get a better number against a quarterback who's got six.
Could have got six and had uncertainty.
I missed it. I missed the boat there. You know, week 18, these numbers are
you
flying.
You weren't monitoring. What the heck's going on, Femi?
We're monitoring the awards market is what we were doing. We got a lot going on there, man. We're trying to get some big tickets home.
Teasers and awards markets. It's Lombardi Line Friday here on VSiN, the
option.
Sports Betting Network.
We'll go to break on that.
What do you think?
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every NFL or bowl game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you see changes in all the action. And we've updated the betting splits as we always look to improve them. We've now added soccer betting splits from around the world. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com/splits. Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A. It's all on there for the betting splits community. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard, and joining us now, the first time we've had him on to start the year 2024, it's our buddy Tank Williams, former NFL DB, now NFL and college football betting analyst. Tank, happy new year, hope all is well. Let's start with the national title game Monday night in Houston, Washington, Michigan. Right now the Wolverines 4.5-point favorites, total 56.5. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, man. For me, I would go with a little UW plus 4.5 at minus 110. And if you're feeling froggy, I would just go money line and take a plus 155. Now, let me go ahead and break it down for you. I understand that Michigan defense is something to deal with, but I don't think that they faced a pass offense quite like Washington this entire season. When you look at this dude, Michael Penix, like obviously a lot of folks have been talking about how well he throws the deep ball, but what really stood out to me against Texas and throughout the season is this dude's precision in the red zone. This dude processes faster than you see a lot of quarterbacks at the NFL level. And throwing in these tight windows, I think that's going to be the differentiator. We know what Harbaugh is going to try to do. He's going to lean heavily on Blake Corum and try to play keep away. But I think that with an improved Washington defense, because they have played better throughout the end of the season, along with what Michael Penix could do with all those weapons on the outside, I think that the Pac-12 secures the last national championship in the 14 format before Harbaugh catches those deuces and goes to the Chargers.
You know what, Tank, it's interesting about this matchup too, because you hear a lot about the trenches and everything, and Washington, I mean, their offensive line has been tremendous this year, as everybody knows. I want to know about the secondary play, though, because one of the reasons why I like Washington against Texas was because of quarters coverage for Texas, and now you got safeties trying to cover these elite pass catchers, and certainly they got the job done on the outside too. But from what you know about Michigan, do they match up at all? I mean, maybe on the outside a little bit with this receiving core, but do they match up at all with safety play with some of those coverages as well?
I don't think so. I mean, when I look at it, they played against Ohio State, and we know that Ohio State couldn't throw the ball worth anything this year. And that dude, Marvin Harrison, still had 5 receptions, about 118 yards in the tub. And so you look at what Ohio State did consistently in the past game, and then look what Washington was able to do against their entire schedule. Like, to me, there's no comparison. They're not going to be able to deal with all these weapons that Washington can deploy on the outside and then hit you with the tight ends in the middle and then also hit you with a little bit of run game too. And when Penix wants to go ahead and throw in his legs here and there, it's going to be difficult to try to cover all that. And I think that they're going to have that defense perplexed and in a situation that they haven't been in most of this season.
I think the difficulty with Washington is he can spread you out and has that touch on the deep ball. But on what they did in the Pac-12 title game, they convert all these third and threes and third and fours because he'll just flick the ball to the tight end. If you're Jesse Minter, the Michigan DC, how do you defend these third downs? Do you take a chance that he's going to beat you deep and come up and try to bump these guys on the line? How do you attack it? Or do you just try to make him take 14 plays to go down the field? What would be your defensive philosophy?
Well, you can play a little bit more physical brand of football in college than you can in the pro. So what I would want to do is throw off the timing with those wide receivers and at the same time give him some different looks as well. Because what I said, he's processing information so fast. And when he notices a defense, he knows where the gaps are or where the gaps are in the defense, and he gets the ball there immediately. So you have to show him one look, and then on the snap, have a safety maybe roll down from a 2-shell to a 1-shell, vice versa, throw in some zone blitzes, some trap blitzes. And I think when you do some things like that, it can make them think that it's one defense and there's another one. And then you'll be able to get an interception or a turnover or a batted ball on a third down and steal some possessions. And that's going to be the best way for Michigan to win, steal some possessions, and then also continue to lean on the run game.
Real quick, Tank, outside of your betting philosophy on this game, emotionally, you have Washington, who is a Pac-12 school, and you have Harbaugh, who was a Stanford head coach. Where's your heart in this game?
I don't have heart for any of them, really. I hated UW when I played them. And I don't really – I was a Michigan fan when I grew up. I had a Michigan starter. I don't care for them either. The only thing I like about Harbaugh is that hopefully he was cheating for Stanford, and that's the reason we got good and we were able to recruit Luck and McCaffrey and all those guys. So for that reason, I bless him for coming to Stanford and helping us and not getting caught at Stanford and then going to Michigan and then go ahead and taking that school down with all the spying that they've been doing over the past couple of years. But, yeah, at least he didn't tarnish that tree.
Way to touch a nerve, Mike.
do we have Connor Stallions in a Stanford hoodie? Has anybody seen that video? We're still looking for that one.
Oh, my God, touch right there.
We're hanging out with Tank Williams, former NFL DB, now NFL and college football betting analyst. Tank, let's talk about the NFL. Your former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. We were talking about it in the last segment. Vrabel's, he said, we're in it to win it. We want to win this game, even though they can't make the playoffs. They're catching 3.5. A lot of uncertainty about quarterback Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville. How do you see this one kind of playing out here with the Jags win and they win the division, lose, and they might miss the playoffs entirely?
Well, the one thing you can count on from the Titans is that Vrabe said they're playing to win the game. Those boys playing to win the game. And they have a really good matchup against that Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Now, they play better against the Carolina Panthers. They were able to shut them out. But that being said, I mean, they've been vulnerable against the pass. We saw Baker Mayfield carve them up. Now, can Ryan Tannehill go in and do that with Nuke Hopkins and all these other guys? That remains to be seen. But that secondary can be had, and that may be a challenge if Tannehill can get hot in this week 18 game.
And Tank, looking at Buffalo and Miami, and we know offensively, like a key injury can kind of alter a game plan. What about defensively? Because Chubb, it's not going to be out there. You know, you're not having that dominant pass rusher off the edge. From a defensive standpoint, how much does that change what you guys want to do out there?
This changes the entire landscape of not only this game, but the Miami Dolphins playoff hopes. because I feel like they were one of the better teams in the league, even after losing Jalen Phillips earlier this season. But now you lose both of those dogs on both sides of your defense. It's going to be tough for them not only to win this game, but to make some noise in the playoffs. And so that's why I'm a little perplexed when I see on social media people talking about if Josh Allen goes out and has like a 4-touchdown game, all of a sudden he's in the MVP race. Like, I believe you win the MVP based on your body of work. And the majority of the time, what I was used to seeing Josh Allen this season, he was in front of a microphone like I am right now with a dejected face talking about the turnovers that they had and why the offense didn't perform well enough to win the game. So how the hell is he going to be the MVP after one good game against a broken down, bombed out, and depleted defense? And all of a sudden, we're going to try to say he's the MVP. He threw 3 interceptions the first game of the season, so that means that he's not disqualified, but then Brock Purdy gets disqualified because he throws 4 interceptions late in the season. I didn't think Brock was the MVP because Christian McCaffrey is. I don't think Josh Allen is the MVP. Tyreek Hill was my MVP before he got hurt. But right now, there's no one taking that award away from Lamar Jackson.
Tank, I want to talk about the game on Saturday night in Indianapolis. The game to get in the playoffs here between Houston and Indianapolis. Who do you think wins this game? And I'll ask you this question, too. Do you think the winner of the game, especially if it's Houston, DeMeco Ryans should be coach of the year, or even Shane Steichen if they qualify with Minshew as a quarterback all year?
I actually think Kevin Stefanski should get coach of the year. That job that he did in Cleveland has just been unbelievable. But that being said, I mean, I called Houston Texans making the playoffs about, maybe 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, something like that. And I still want to stand strong on that. That was before C.J. Stroud got hurt, before they really broke out. So it may have even been longer than that. But I really like what they're able to do on offense. They need to show up some things on defense because they can get lit up at times. You go all the way back to when Tampa Bay played them in the middle of the season, they got lit up. And then there's been these breakout games where people have been able to smoke them here and there throughout the season. But I think what C.J. Stroud is able to do, no Tank Dell, but Nico Collins, have some other guys step up on the outside. Devin Singletary has been able to run the rock effectively for them and also make some splash plays in the pass game. Dalton Schultz, I think the Houston Texans have what it takes enough to get over the hump against the Indianapolis Colts and win that game and make it to the playoffs.
All right, Tank, we got a minute left here. The Saturday afternoon game, Steelers-Ravens. They have a better chance to make the playoffs if they win. If they lose, they're out. Do they get it done against Tyler Huntley and the Ravens?
I mean, people may think it's a layup because Lamar Jackson, maybe some of those guys aren't playing, but Tyler Huntley could ball. I just don't know how many weapons he's going to have around him to actually, you know, be able to deploy the ball and do all those different things. But Huntley could do some damage with his legs. But I think in this matchup where the Baltimore Ravens are probably resting a whole bunch of guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers may be coming away with it. I mean, and this is going to be an interesting question for Pittsburgh moving forward when you have Mason Rudolph come in on the heater to win these last games of the season. He's finally the guy who can unlock George Pickens. And then you have, you know, Najee Harris playing his best ball of the season. Then you have all these other weapons that you can kind of build around the Mason Rudolph if that's the route you want to go. So I'm more interested in the Pittsburgh Steelers winning for all the stuff that's going to turn over in the offseason versus them having the potential plans to make the playoffs, because even if they do make the playoffs, they're going to get waxed the first game anyway.
Tank, we got 20 seconds. You spent some time in Foxborough. Is this Bill's last game with the Patriots?
I'm not sure. If it's his last game coaching, he may still be in the front office or something like that. I don't think he just parts ways after a bad season just this much, because he means so much to the organization.
He is Tank Williams, former NFL DB, now college and NFL betting analyst. Tank, we appreciate it, man. Good luck with the bets.
Happy New Year.
Appreciate it.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they will get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Heck of a deal there. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard hanging out here on a Football Friday, first Football Friday of 2024. And joining us now to help us break down some of these weekend's games, it is Chad Brown, former NFL All-Pro, now working for Westwood One. You hear him on a lot of the games here. Chad, we appreciate you taking the time, as always, to join us here. I know it's been a busy travel day for you. And I want to start off with the game on Saturday afternoon. Your former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Steelers need need a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. They're 3-point favorites, total 35. But as we know, this rivalry tends to be closer than what we all think going in.
Yeah, this is one of the most physical, intense rivalries in all of football. Now, unfortunately, I guess from a football fan perspective, the Baltimore Ravens are going to be resting a lot of guys. So with their playoff situation locked up, not a lot to play for there. So Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers obviously want to finish the season with a winning record to get themselves into the playoffs. So I know they're going to give everything that they've got. But even despite the Ravens missing some guys, I know the kind of coach at Harbaugh is, the kind of program they have out there in Baltimore. And I expect them to show up despite Lamar Jackson not being under center.
Do you think that this line with the Steelers, they were favored by 4, Chad, now 3.5, is an overreaction, though, because of this particular rivalry? I mean, Harbaugh tries to win in week 2 of the preseason, and I'm sure the Ravens don't want to play the Steelers or the Browns in the playoffs. They can't do anything about the Browns, but they could eliminate the Steelers. I mean, if this was 1995 and you guys, it's week 16, you had the one seed locked up and you didn't play Neil O'Donnell, I mean, the game against the Ravens would have still been very intense, correct?
I think this rivalry is just that kind of rivalry. And you talked about Baltimore's approach to the preseason. They, you know, when games, quote-unquote, don't count, it's still football for them. They still line up and play. So, you know, the line, I think, shows some respect to the rivalry. But at the same time, when you are missing some of the players that Baltimore's not going to have on the field on Saturday, I think that definitely affects things as well.
Chad, I want to ask you an overreaching question in terms of the National Football League and what it's kind of turning into and what it is really for bettors right now. Because we're just talking about this game, and I agree with you. I think, you know, if your mindset is physical, then the Ravens, you're going to play a physical game. I mean, it's not like you're going to dial it down. But overall, though, Chad, when you look at the National Football League and we see so much wide zone and inside zone, now we're seeing some gap and some power and these double teams and the notion that, you know, players are taking the pads off and they're not really going through physical practices. How much of an advantage does that play into how you look at the games this time of year?
Well, I think in the end, football still remains a physical game. So despite the league trying to penalize running backs for lowering their head and penalize blockers for, you know, this push by the league, it's getting to the point where it feels a bit absurd and we're losing track of that. And some of the CBA rules, some of the amount of padded practices, that has played into all of that. But I think the coaches, like Harbaugh in Baltimore, who recognize that this time of year, the physical style of play, you can overwhelm somebody just by being a more physical team. You don't necessarily have to be the better team. You don't have to have a better schematic X's and O's. But just simply by being physical this time of year, you can beat an opponent, particularly if it comes down to, say, a weather game where maybe it's more difficult to pass the ball. And physicality then becomes a premium. So the coaches who still recognize that and get their teams to play with that despite the limited amount of opportunities they have from a practice setting to do that, I think the teams are going to be most successful.
We're speaking with Chad Brown here, NFL and college football analyst over at Westwood One, former All-Pro. Chad, it's interesting because we've been talking about this with Pritch earlier in the show, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on this as well. As a player, if you're on one of these teams that has clinched their playoff spot, where it's like you're Cleveland, you're locked into the 5 seed. We know Baltimore and San Francisco are locked into the 1 seed. What is the approach throughout the week and also on game day of like, hey, obviously there's bigger fish to fry down the road in the playoffs, but we still have this week 18 game to go. Like, would you prefer the rest or do you like kind of staying in rhythm as a creature of habit almost?
I like rhythm. I'm a fan of rhythm. And I know as a coach that puts you in a difficult spot, you lose a player like Miami lost Nick Chubb, Bradley Chubb last week with the ACL injury. You know, as a coach, then suddenly you're to blame for that. But at the same time, I've got an obligation to make sure my team is prepared to go. And if we start taking time off, or if I let players know as soon as the game is over the week before that all these guys are going to be missing action, then the whole week turns into a lost week. Focus isn't there. Passion for the game isn't there. Intensity, looking at the game plan's not there. All those things lessen. There's a human nature aspect of football that's unavoidable, that if you tell people that they're not going to play, well, they're going to turn it down during the week. So let's play. Now, will I pull some guys out? Probably. If a guy gets nicked up who's got a history of hamstring pulls and he's got some tightness in the first quarter, well, heck yeah, let's sit you down. Let's make sure you're ready for the playoff game, because that's the more important game. At the same time, we still need to accomplish something this week. We just can't take a mulligan for this week and take the whole week off.
Chad, you're stationed in Denver. You follow the Broncos, cover the Broncos, play to the University of Colorado with our friend Mike Pritchard here. This is an interesting game this week in Las Vegas. A lot of reports here in town about how badly these players want Antonio Pierce to get the job, and this is his final audition for Mark Davis before he considers maybe a Jim Harbaugh. That's been part of the storyline here, too. And on the other side, you have the Broncos coming in, out of the playoffs, but still with a chance for a winning record. How is that locker room there? The benching of Wilson, the front office moves, kind of the dirty pool. Peyton's made out to be the villain. What's the situation like, and is the intangibles on the Raiders' side here this week?
I think they are. I think they are. I mean, both teams obviously have no playoff implications coming up, but both teams have something to play for. I just think that the something to play for the Las Vegas Raiders is bigger than this quest for a winning record and let's win one so Sean Payton doesn't have a losing season. The Antonio Pierce thing, I believe, is absolutely real. As a former player, when you have a coach who's a former player who kind of still thinks like you, kind of still walks like you and operates like you, when was the last time you saw a NFL head coach with two diamond earrings in? Antonio Pierce, he's the only one I've ever seen. You know, as a guy who wears an earring in both ears, it's nice to see that former player kind of swag and mentality up there, you know, giving a post-game press conference. So I love AP. I love the linebacker mentality that he brings to the Raiders. He's actually talked about physicality and inflicting pain in press conferences. All these offensive gurus who had a chance to work with Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, who get these head coaching jobs because, you know, they're suddenly an offensive genius, they don't talk like that. They don't bring that mindset to the locker room. AP does. So there's a lot to be said for that. I know Mark Davis has got to kick the tires on guys like Harbaugh, and how could you not? At the same time, you know, while I'm not a billionaire, and I can't say what a billionaire thinks, I check my bank account, and I'm way, way short of that status. But I do recognize what AP brings is a winning attitude and a football attitude that is very different than what a lot of other head coaches could possibly bring.
And to that point there, Antonio Pierce just told the media in terms of resting some veterans, quote, we're Raiders, we're playing. So these guys are going to go all out Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you don't see two earring quality control coaches out there like Chad was talking about. Turning the head coaches. Chad, real quick, we saw Tampa get hot down the stretch. We saw the Rams get hot. We saw KC get hot, certainly down the stretch last year, won the Super Bowl. We got the elite teams. Is there anybody from a wild card situation that you got your eye on that can make some noise in the playoffs and perhaps get to the Super Bowl?
Let me look at the schedule right now. Gosh, man, looking at the schedule and the standings, who is the hottest team in football? Well, I mean, for a while it was the Denver Broncos when they won five in a row. Buffalo's now won four in a row, and it's been a bit of a rocky up and down year for them. But you know, it's hard to say that they're a team that you know, folks are overlooking. Maybe Cleveland and what they've done with Joe Flacco. You know, to have four starting quarterbacks under center for you during the course of the season, still make the playoffs, and now have a four-game winning streak with Joe Flacco. That's incredibly difficult to do. Incredibly impressive to pull off. So maybe Cleveland is that team that makes some noise because they've got a guy who's done it before, who's won a Super Bowl before under center for them. And I think everyone recognized they've got a good defense. Yeah. Their run game can be good. They just needed a quarterback, and Joe Flacco is giving them that stability at that position.
Yeah, the Browns are an intriguing team in the postseason. We'll see if they can go ahead and make a run. And Flacco, he's got a lot of experience doing that, winning playoff games on the road, and is a Super Bowl MVP. He is Chad Brown over at Compass Media, Westwood One Radio Sports there, former All-Pro Colorado Buffalo, like our buddy Mike Pritchard here on the set. Chad, we appreciate it as always. Be well.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to Chad Brown there. All right, that does it for hour number one. Hour number two, we'll break down more of the Week 18 marquee games next here on the Lombardi Line.